Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Any parent who has attempted to roust a sleeping teenager for school will tell you it's not always an easy task. Teenagers, it seems, really like to sleep. According to medical researchers, teenagers are not getting enough sleep, and it's impacting how they perform in school, their behavior, and even their mental health. There's a growing movement for schools to start classes later so students can get more sleep. Starting school later on today's Smart Talk. Joining us to discuss this topic today is Dr. Gail Carafin, a school psychologist and Pennsylvania statewide leader of Start School Early. Dr. Carafin, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Also joining us is Dr. Afeyu Buxton, a professor in the Department of Behavioral Health at Penn State University. He joins us from State College. Dr. Buxton, I'm glad to have you on the program today.
Good morning.
And Derry Township School District Superintendent Joseph McFarland. Superintendent McFarland, good to see you today.
Thank you and good morning.
If you have a question or a comment, I am kind of anticipating that we'll have a lot of opinions on this topic today. We'd like to hear from you. 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page. On Twitter, we are at Smart Talk, WITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Dr. Buxton, I'm going to start with you. Why aren't adolescents getting enough sleep?
Well, we know most teenagers in the U.S. are sleep deprived. A study from 5 years ago estimated about 3/4 of high school students are not even getting the minimum recommended amount. The current recommendations for teens are they should get 8 to 10 hours of sleep on a regular basis. And most are going to need more than that minimum to be at their best for health and doing well in school. There seems to be a lot of social pressures as well as potentially overcommitment in teens. And of course, smartphones and social media and all the ways that they're distracted by devices all contribute to a sense that there's not enough time in the day to leave enough room for sleep.
Now, when you're, and let's make this clear that we will be talking about younger children too, but for the most part, we are talking about adolescents, 12 to 18 year olds, correct?
Yeah, the secondary school start time, which was the focus of the Joint State Commission report, covers high school, so really 9th to 12th grade. As teens move into high school, generally they're getting less and less sleep each year compared to middle school.
Now,
earlier,
there is some biology that affects how much sleep adolescents need to function. Tell us about that.
Well, we have an hourglass, if you will, a homeostatic process, we call it, where the more we're awake, the sleepier we are, and the longer we've been asleep, the more refreshed or wakeful we'll feel when we get up. And so that process, driven by the brain, can really help us get enough sleep. But if there are competing demands and we ignore those sleepy signals and stay up late or don't get enough sleep because we feel we have to get up before we're rested, then those systems helping us get the amount of sleep we need don't work.
And there's changes that occur at puberty.
Right. The main one is with circadian rhythms. Those are 24-hour body rhythms driven by a clock in our brain. And we mark the time on that system by the timing of melatonin secretion that rises when it's dark or at night. And this system seems to be delayed somewhat in puberty. Also, the sleep homeostatic system has changed a little bit so that teens need a little bit more sleep, especially when they're in the midst of growth spurts. So with this combination of maybe needing a little bit more delayed timing of sleep, but a fixed early morning school start time, teams are set up to basically never get enough sleep during the weekdays.
Dr. Carafin, your organization, Start School Early.
And Start School Later.
Later. Wow. Yeah. We'll be advocating for a whole other thing here if we, yes. Start School Later. when we talk about the organization, and you said to me walking into this studio that you know, this is something that your life is about, that you're very passionate about.
Well, I think everybody in the organization feels they're on a mission to make a change in the school start times for the teenagers. My mission started when I was raising children, and I saw the difference when they had to start getting up, you know, 6:30 in the morning, and their functioning. I assumed it was their teenage years that created the mood issues and the forgetting things. And
you're a psychologist, and assumed that.
Yeah, and I did make that assumption. And then as I started looking at it, I thought that they're sleep deprived. And then I started doing the research on it, and Dr. Buxkin's information was what I was finding. So I work in a school district, and I was beginning to put two and two together. I saw the zombies pour in the morning. Students who are well-motivated would make an effort to come in, even though they were tired. They got a second wind in the afternoon, but it was at a cost. It was at a cost to their mental health. It was at a cost to their physical health and their health and safety. Those students who were not particularly motivated just couldn't get themselves to school. The absence rate and the tardy rate were excessively high. So based on that, I was looking for ways to make changes as a school psychologist. In my private practice, a lot of teenagers were brought to me, and there were, of course, the usual problems with the electronic devices that I educated them. They must put their electronics away about 30 to 60 minutes before bedtime. And when I asked them what they like and don't like about school, they would say the hardest thing is getting up in the morning. It just didn't fit their biology.
Question, though, and I'm sure you all have heard this, and we're going to talk about some of the objections to starting school later. And one is that, well, you know, it's been this way for the last 50 years, that in the 1950s and 60s, actually, the school classes started a little bit later. Probably a lot of that had to do with so many kids who worked in rural areas, on farms, that kind of thing. But you know, people in my generation, yeah, we're used to this. What's different?
What's different? Well, schools didn't start at 7:30 in the morning before, I think, the 70s. It's when we had the desegregation issues and the busing come up. We had a lot of cost cuts to the schools with the economy at the time. And they were randomly deciding on making two or three tiers of buses to save money in transportation. And that makes a lot of sense, but they didn't have the research back then to know that it's the teenagers that need the sleep. You can put a young child to bed at 8 and 8:30 and they will fall asleep, but you can't do that with a teenager.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Buxton, you touched on this a little bit, but if you would, talk about a little bit more of what has changed from 40 or 50 years ago.
Well, when we were doing the deep dive onto the early PA laws on this topic, the original recommendation was that school should start at 9 o'clock, which sounds very civilized to me, and I'm sure a lot of high school students would agree. And districts ended up choosing earlier times for other reasons and community-based reasons. I think what's changed is that we're now seeing that our teens are under such strain and at risk to their health and mental and physical health, such that it's more of a priority that they get enough sleep. If they are there in high school to learn, they need to have gotten enough sleep to even be present, much less remember things.
Mm-hmm. District, the superintendent of Derry Township School District, Joseph McFarlane. Superintendent McFarlane, Derry Township has made the recommendations, and I believe it's 2021 that there will be some changes made?
Correct. We are 10 years ago, we studied this and looked at it.
So you were way before the American Medical Association, American Academy of Pediatrics that made recommendations 5 years ago.
Right. There had been some research done, but at that time, there was not data to support the benefits or the positives of making that switch. So at that time, some of the hurdles that are still challenges today, after school activities, childcare, and transportation were three of the reasons that at that time we said not yet, but look at it at a later date. This year, when we started looking at it, the research is compelling. Also, there's a lot of data coming out on the mental health benefits for students, the academic benefits, and also safety, as was mentioned earlier.
Safety, you're talking about car crashes.
Correct.
Kids that, you know, high school students who are driving themselves to school.
Correct, early in the morning. Mm-hmm. The impairment that's there because they're not fully awake at that time. So when we went into it this year, it was that we would be making a recommendation this spring to start our secondary school later in the 21-22 school year. So that's what we're moving forward with at this point.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a lot of opposition to this?
We have not. Primarily, it has been very positive. We have heard some concerns about childcare, and especially from parents who rely on secondary students. If we would make a switch where our elementary would go earlier than our secondary, concerns with, I count on my secondary student to be home in the afternoon to get my elementary student. That's primarily the concern we've heard. And again, it's been very, very minimal. The other has been, and you mentioned it earlier, well, when we were kids, we got up early and we were fine. And my answer is possibly that may have worked for you. But again, we didn't have the research. And did it really work for us? Or did we just manage through it? And did we achieve our fullest potential? We will never know that.
I'd love to comment on that.
This go ahead.
Is our fail.
Go ahead,
sorry
Boxley.
To interrupt.
No, that's fine.
You know, we made it to high school, but I remember most first and second periods being just a struggle to stay awake and mm-hmm. dozing. So we were present at work, but we were demonstrating what we now call in the workplace presenteeism, which is showing up when we probably shouldn't. We should have been sleeping and getting more sleep. I'm not sure we were all the way there in class, even though we were marked as present.
Correct.
Dr. Buxton, what time did you go to bed when you're in high school?
Well, I also had a morning paper route, which probably was making it worse. But, you know, generally trying to get to bed by 11 or 12 with a lot of homework and after school activities could be a challenge.
Yeah.
And then up and running to school.
Dr. Carafin, something that Dr. Buxton just touched on, having a newspaper route. Yeah. But we know there are a lot of schools that their extracurricular activities, they have started practices at 5:30 in the morning, 6
yes.
o'clock in the morning. Your recommendations are none of that,
the,
right?
The recommendation from the commission is no zero period classes, that school day starts at that time. And early morning athletic practices, say, starting, I know some of the swim team met at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning at the pool. And that is kind of off limits in terms of this model.
Mm-hmm. But then the practice goes later, doesn't it?
The practice, you mean after school?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it depends on the district. Each district has to make a decision individually of how they want to handle it. But yes, after school practices, as opposed to starting before the recommended time.
We have an email here from Julia who asks, how will starting school later ensure that students get enough sleep? Couldn't that encourage them to stay up later at night, which would not result in any additional sleep time? Who wants to take
and
that one?
I can start with that. That is something that we have heard, too, is that kids will just stay up later. And the medical research does not support that. We know that typically with the onset of sleep, it's going to be later in adolescence. So you can make a teenager go into their rooms at 9, 10 o'clock. But if you go in and check, even without technology in there, they're probably laying there not asleep. As I've said to our community as well, it's still going to require parenting to put parental boundaries on students. But the research supports that they are not going to stay up later. They're going to fall asleep when their biology tells them. Mm-hmm.
Kayla Wahlstrom did thorough research on that issue, and she found that the children go to bed at the same time and just get that extra half hour or hour of sleep. That's a myth. They don't stay up later. Mm-hmm.
Does that?
We had a national study on that topic as well. Nikki Nahmod, N-A-H-M-O-D, was the first author. And in that national study, we looked at daily times that kids went to school, and either their self-reports of their bedtime and sleep, or in another paper, a wearable device measured sleep. And while the later school start time kids did go to sleep slightly later, they got much more sleep. In fact, the ones that had an 8:30 or later start time was the only group that was meeting minimums on average for the amount of sleep that they should get. All the other groups, the earlier the school start time, they were getting progressively less sleep than needed.
Dr. Buxton, Joe McFarland just said that half hour, extra hour, that the students were taking advantage of it. Does that extra half hour make a difference?
It does. As I said, on average, 8:30 or later school start time is the only group getting the recommended amount. The difference with the 7 to 7:30 school start time was about 45 minutes to an hour. So the differences there are big. That's per day in meeting a minimum or not.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF. You're home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. For more information on sleep, plus a deeper look at the changing tide of healthcare, check out WITF's Transforming Health online at transforminghealth.org, a partnership of WITF, WellSpan Health, and Capital Blue Cross. I want to tell you about some programs that we have coming up here in the next week or so on WITF Smart Talk, including Real ID. A lot of confusion about Real ID. Who needs Real ID? When they need to get it? What it costs? What kind of documents they need to get Real ID? We had a program on that focused on Real ID a few months ago that just got a fantastic response. When I say fantastic, meaning a lot of people with questions. So we'll be doing that later this week as well. Also, a Smart Talk road trip next week to Harrisburg Area Community College to focus on career and tech education. That's coming up next Thursday, and if you'd like to attend that broadcast, you can do it by going to WITF.org/events to RSVP. We invite you to share your questions in advance by sending us a voice memo or leaving voicemail. See what's coming up at WITF.org/smarttalk. On today's program, we're talking about sleep-deprived teenagers and whether it is a good idea, I think there are a lot of people who have recommended it's a good idea, but whether schools can actually do it successfully, and that is starting classes later so that the students can get more sleep. Our guest today, Dr. Gail Carafin, she's a school psychologist and the Pennsylvania statewide leader of Start School Later. Also, Dr. Afeyu Buxton, a professor of the Department of Behavioral Health at Biobehavioral Health, I should say, at Penn State University, and Derry Township School District Superintendent Joseph McFarland. If you have a question or comment, we are getting a lot of emails, but if you'd like to get on the phone, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. I am jumping around on topics here, but there is a lot of information about this. Dr. Buxton, we talked a little bit about teenagers overall, adolescents overall, not getting enough sleep. They're actually, in the research, shows that girls are getting less sleep than boys, and that minorities, racial minorities, or those from low socioeconomic backgrounds are getting even less sleep. Why is that?
In situations of disadvantage, for example, poverty, it's expensive to be poor and takes a lot of time. So there may be a longer commute or greater difficulties. We don't actually understand all of the reasons for these disparities in sleep health, but they seem to underlie broader disparities in health overall.
Here's a listener with a question that probably is the ultimate question, and that is, how do grades or testing improve with later start times? Who wants to take that one?
Well, the research is showing that the students' grades go up, their attendance goes up, their tardies go down, visits to the school nurse goes down, and discipline issues go down.
Why would discipline issues go down?
I think children, when they don't feel well, are more irritable and more likely to get themselves into some trouble. Also, the CDC found that students that are not getting enough sleep have a higher rate of risk-taking. Injuries go down, and I'm talking about athletic injuries in the school sports teams.
And that was actually something you had brought up about the practice times, mm-hmm. and some of the pushback is that a later school start time requires later practices and not morning practices. But what they're finding is the schools that have done that and required later practices is that the academic or athletic performance of those students and those teams is actually better.
You know, something else that I see here, and I want to read from the report. Insufficient sleep increases the risk of adolescent motor vehicle accidents, athletic injuries, and other injuries. Insufficient sleep affects adolescent behavioral health in terms of poor self-esteem and risky behavior, including crime and delinquency. Insufficient sleep affects adolescent mental health in terms of affect and mood, anxiety, depression, and suicidality. Insufficient sleep affects adolescent physical health in terms of higher cardiometabolic disease risk and immune system compromise. And as I said earlier, these effects can be further intensified by socioeconomic status and racial ethnic differences. Dr. Buxton, mental health, depression, I mean, there's a lot there that is listed of how a lack of sleep can have an impact. Are people aware of all those things?
We're not sure. Certainly, we hope to be moving past the culture of a machismo at sleep loss. You know, that was sort of the high school that I went to, where if you really wanted something and were ambitious, you were willing to lose sleep for it. You've heard at award ceremonies, respect for the tireless efforts of someone, but oftentimes that person looks actually pretty tired. These broad effects on the brain and the body and important systems for self-regulation and productivity, learning, all of those things. Those are effects that are across the lifespan. These are things that impact children to late life adults. How it seems to be driving high school students is that with the early school start times, these impacts are magnified. They also are perceived as unavoidable. If they don't go to school, you know, they get in trouble. And so they have to be there earlier than they're able.
We have some comments here from listeners, and a lot of them are tapping their experiences or their observations. Kathleen emails saying, as a retired high school teacher, I know that a major reason why students don't get enough sleep is the fact they never turn off their phones and are repeatedly woken by texts during the night, and they entertain themselves for hours when they should be sleeping. Please address this. Dr. Carafin, this is something that you did touch on.
There is a concern about teenagers having proper boundaries for their technology. And I tell parents that they need to charge up all the digital stuff overnight and make it off limits after a certain hour. And I instruct the teenager why this is important. It prevents melatonin secretion. The blue screen does something that delays melatonin secretion. Melatonin is the chemical that starts the sleep process. So if they're on their electronics, they don't feel sleepy. And they say, well, I'm not sleepy. And they don't feel sleepy. So we have to do something in our curriculum to address these new needs to educate children about the importance of sleep. We teach them about nutrition. We get them healthy exercise. And sleep is one-third of our lives, all our lives. And it's very important, and the children don't know enough about it to be healthy.
You know, talking about sleep and health, it seems as though researchers and the medical profession has just recently, and I say recently, maybe in the last 5 to 10 years, realized how important sleep is to health. I mean, it seemed as though, I mean, Joe McFarlane, you said about, you know, that the, well, no, I guess it was Dr. Buxton to talk about the people staying up all night, that they kind of wore that as a badge of mm-hmm. honor if they mm-hmm. only needed a few hours sleep. But the science is saying that it's not just adolescents, that it's people overall and their overall health, that sleep is a big part of that. So many of the things we're talking about, now we're talking about starting classes later, but many of the things we're talking about could be applied to adults as well when it comes to sleep.
Absolutely.
And it comes to health. Lisa emails us saying, we hosted a European student for a week earlier this year as part of an exchange program. Several of the parents discussed how their European students really struggled with the early start times here in the United States. It was more than just jet lag, as it lasted the entire week they were in our homes. Most of them were going to bed at 8 or 9 p.m. because they were really struggling with the early mornings. We know other countries continually have students scoring higher in academics. So what times does high school or its equivalent start in other countries?
I probably don't have all the statistics about that, but I do know that England and France have made later school start times for their high school students. Some of the private schools start at 10 in Europe, but they were making 9 o'clock start times.
Actually, your research has shown that what you had for the General Assembly, that the higher percentage of charter schools actually were starting later than the traditional public schools, too, correct?
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. Listener asks, what impact will changing the time have on the organization of the school day? Will class times be shortened?
Well, and that's something that you don't know until you make the change in start times. We'll actually be using all next year to work on the internal schedules once the start and end times are determined. Right now, many schools, high schools, have 7 to 8 periods a day. You can still provide great opportunities for students and maybe not have quite as many class period changes for students so that they can learn more deeply in a subject versus losing time every 40-some minutes to change classes as well. So it's really up to the individual school district as to what the internal schedule looks like.
But the state mandates how many hours and how many days that students must be in class, correct?
Pennsylvania has a two-pronged system for attendance. One is 180 school days, and the other is 900 hours at the elementary level and 990 hours at the secondary level for instruction.
Mm-hmm. You just brought up elementary level. Mm-hmm. That has been, as you mentioned yourself, Superintendent, you know, one of the objections to this is that there would be an impact on the younger students, that, you know, let's face it, a lot of them ride the same buses, or the buses are staggered because for elementary and for high school. What impact does it have on the elementary students?
It depends on what the school, how the school looks at that. Two options we're looking at right now just pushes both back later, and one does have elementary starting first. But my concern was not having elementary students at bus stops in the dark or walking in the dark. So our earliest start would be 8 o'clock for elementary. There is not a lot of research out there on the impacts of a later secondary start time on elementary age students. But we do know that with the biological sleep patterns, elementary young students before puberty do rise earlier and the onset of sleep is earlier. We have many kids that are up very early in the morning, either going to daycare, childcare, before school activities. So the longer that we delay the start of elementary, the longer we're losing optimal periods of learning for elementary. So an earlier start time for elementary is not necessarily a negative.
Mm-hmm. Maybe for parents. We're going to bring up some of those objections here in a moment. We have a phone call from Mary in Lancaster County, has some advice. Mary, you're on the air.
Hi. I found that subtracting from 300 by 3s or doing any counting to distract the mind helps me to get to sleep. And I thought maybe that doing that might help teenagers to get to sleep faster. And I'm just realizing now at age 74 how important adequate levels of oxygen is or are to mental health. I heard recently that Justin Bieber sleeps in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber to help with his emotional issues, and I've found that reminding myself to breathe consciously helps me so much when I feel stressed, and I think doing that might help teenagers to cope with stress also. Thank you.
Well, Mary, first, before you go, did you say you're 74? I don't think she's there. She does not sound like she was 74 years. She sounded very, very young. But okay, the point she's making, and Dr. Buxton always asked about that. Now, we all can't afford those hyperbolic chambers that Justin Bieber sleeps in. But at the same time, the point she makes about oxygen and all that, does she have a point?
Yes, there's a lot of ways to enter sleep. If we think of small children, there can be some calming time, maybe a bath or reading books, but definitely not wilding or being on a device. The same kind of approach, a calm, gentle entry to sleep, will probably be best for us across our life. Some ways to reduce stress include relaxation or breathing techniques, as she mentioned. But an important feature of doing that kind of activity is not being on a device that emits that blue light that suppresses circadian rhythms and masks our sleepiness and makes us feel more awake than if we just put the phone down for a little bit, that we would be able to evaluate how sleepy we are.
What about TV?
All the devices these days, TVs, computers, unless it's a cathode ray tube, if it's a flat screen, those are all LEDs or computers or phones, are all emitting higher levels of blue light. They're also quite bright, and that not only suppresses melatonin, but directly makes us feel more awake and alert, even if we're carrying a lot of sleep debt.
You mentioned reading a book. That's one of the recommendations to keep the brain active as someone gets older. You're keeping the brain active as you're reading a book. You don't have the electronic screen. What about that? The activity of the brain?
That's a fabulous way to help get to sleep. And the other thing is it's a great assay for how sleepy you are. It can be a very riveting book, but if you're sleepy, it's hard to stay awake to a book. Mm. Whereas if you're on a screen, you can stay up past when you need to get to sleep.
Wendy asks, I've had what I think is a good idea to help the ability to have school start later. My daughter is lower Dauphin Middle School. They start at 7:30. They spend 1.5 hour per day, 15 minutes in the morning and 15 at the end of the day, which could be cut out. What do you think?
It's hard to say because every school is different. So without knowing an individual's exact schedule, what that time is used for, it's hard to say that it could or couldn't be cut. Every school has to look at it. They need to meet the hour requirements. They need to meet their graduation and academic requirements. So as we've been studying this and looking at it, every school and every community is unique. So there's no one size fits all other than the optimal 8:30 start time or later.
We have another email from a listener who says, I just texted my son with the science of turning off the phones because it may delay melatonin release. His response, he said, no way, because that's the only time I can be on my phone. And this parent said, sigh. And I'm sure there are a lot of students, adolescents, that probably have that. But, Superintendent, you said about parental control or, the parents have to have some, even for a 15, 16, 17-year-old, the parents have to have some input into this.
Right. And it's not all parents, all the school. It's us working together. It's, as was said, it's some of the education on the school side. It's also helping parents understand and learn how to, or help them learn how to set those parameters or give them a background or a backing so that they can establish healthy boundaries.
Mm. Well, we have much more to talk about, and we are still taking your phone calls and emails. 1-800-729-7532. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Listen tomorrow on Smart Talk, where we talk about an area man who collects artifacts from the slavery era. Also, earthquake and hurricane relief efforts in Puerto Rico. We have a conversation with a local woman who is in Puerto Rico right now, providing some relief. Puerto Rico has really not gotten a lot of attention here in the mainland, but that earthquake devastated Puerto Rico after the hurricanes of the last 3 years. You can see what other topics that we're looking at over the next few weeks. Get an outlook of conversations we're working on. Plus, you can leave a voicemail or voice memo question for one of our upcoming programs. More information at WITF.org/smarttalk. Today, we're talking about a proposal. And it's more than a proposal for some school districts here in Pennsylvania, starting classes later so that the students get more sleep. Our guest today, Dr. Gail Carafin. She's a school psychologist and Pennsylvania statewide leader of Start School Later. Also, Dr. Afeyu Buxton, a professor in the Department of Biobehavioral Health at Penn State University, and Derry Township School District Superintendent Joseph McFarlane. If you have a question or a comment, we have about 20 minutes left in the program. Give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Dr. Carafin, I'm curious, before we do get back to the phones, how many school districts in Pennsylvania have actually made the move to start classes later? How many are studying it? And why haven't more districts gone this way with all the research out there?
Oh, that's hard to say. There are about, I think, 25 to 30 school districts that have made the change. There are over 500 school districts in the state of Pennsylvania. And every day, the numbers are changing for those that are looking into it. So it's really hard to keep up with that statistic. I forget your last question.
Why aren't more? I mean, we have 500 school districts in this state, public school districts. Why aren't more considering it? Or, okay, I know a lot more have considered it, but actually done it.
Making change is always a very difficult thing to do, especially a change in our institution of schools, which involve a lot of people, involves transportation, it involves athletics, it involves teachers, it involves the parent and the community. It's not just, you know, changing your bus times. It can be an expense. There are challenges involved, but they're all very doable. If you take a look at the challenge and are solution-focused, you can make the change, and we've seen the districts successfully do that.
What expenses?
Well, in each district, that's different, but a lot of districts are concerned about transportation expenses going up. Needing extra buses is perhaps an issue. Although many districts have found that if they change their routes a little bit, that their transportation costs do not go up. There may be some concerns about daycare, which come up with Joe is best to address that one. And sometimes the teachers and teachers' unions don't like change. So it has to have a leader that is willing to take a look at all of the problems.
You mentioned buses. I understand that, I don't know about Pennsylvania, but one of the objections in some other states have been a shortage of bus drivers.
That is true.
That is true in Pennsylvania,
as well.
Do we have a shortage overall, and would this exasperate that shortage?
There is. It's very challenging to get bus drivers and get enough bus drivers, so that is a concern. Again, each district is different depending on how they do their transportation. Many school districts in Pennsylvania contract their transportation. We do not. But the expense, the typical expense is around the cost of buses and additional personnel if you need to add runs.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phone now. Sarah is in Hershey. Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, you're welcome.
I first want to commend the superintendent of Derry Township for being forward-thinking on this. Our school district is not laid off, and I'm a little frustrated by this. I have four kids, to elementary school students to middle school students, and I would gladly swap their start times. I've seen in particular with my daughter, who on paper is, you know, the perfect student, bright, has friends, does well. I've seen her deteriorate in middle school, and I know it's sleep related because on weekends, on time off, she bounces back. And it's hard to see. We've even debated pulling her out of school and homeschooling because of this. And that's really just my commentary on the issue.
All right. Thank you very much. Have you heard that? Is that typical? Have you heard stories like that?
Mm-hmm. We have. And I have to say, overall this year, the comments and the feedback we've gotten has been very positive. Thank you. We're glad looking at this. We're glad we're moving forward.
By the way, you know, the study that we've been talking about, one of the recommendations in there is that schools continue to collect data.
Mm-hmm.
Those that have made the changes, that you continue to collect data, even though there was more research than what there was a decade ago, you're still learning, right?
Correct. And we actually have started collecting baseline data on absences and tardies. We also have baseline data on the number of accidents. Now, fortunately for us, it's been very, very few over the years, so we're not sure how that will benefit. We're looking at doing a sleep study for our students in the future, so we can get some baseline data there to see how it's changing their sleep patterns.
All right, here's one out of left field. I just thought of this, and if this is a dumb question, tell me. Are there any schools anywhere in the world that allow students to take a nap other than kindergarten?
Allow them to?
Yeah.
In the secondary?
Yeah.
I don't know of any, but...
Dr. Buxton, am I coming up with something? Is that too far gone?
Well, I think it's a bit like the modern workplace, too, where the naps are less... chosen than obligatory. People just hit the wall.
I think if
you see the face plant in high school and in the modern workplace too.
Maybe if you consider study hall a nap time, that maybe would allow.
I guess what came into mind was a siesta in Latino countries. And
no, our students are moving from the time they're.
Yeah, I know. I know. There's a bell ringing all the time. Jen is in Reading. Jen, you're on the air. Hello, Jen.
Jane.
Oh, Jane. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jane.
That's okay. That's me. I'm a child of the 40s and 50s, and I went to school from, I'm 78, so I went to school from 1947 to 1959. And our school started in Reading at 9 in the morning, and we went till 3:45 every day. And that included a walk home for lunch, which lasted an hour and 15 minutes. But of course that was a Leave It to Beaver childhood. And I see children getting out of school in the afternoons. I see schools closing at 2:00 in the afternoon. And I think, I wonder, why are they doing this? It seems so ridiculous. And children often then are going home to empty houses, and that can be a spot of trouble, too. And I had read many years ago that Finland, which invariably ranks in the top tier of countries for education in the world, that their schools started at 9, and they don't even like to send children to school until the age of 7. They think that's the ideal age for kids to start school. And one of the arguments has always been, well, so many high schoolers have jobs and they have to go to their jobs. But why does the school district have to accommodate fast food businesses? I think it should be the other way around.
Hey, Jane, thank you very much for your call. She brings up a lot of points there. Mm-hmm. What about it?
Everybody's situation is unique. Like I said earlier, we have so many hours that are required for instructional time. So if you start school earlier, you're going to get out of school earlier. If you start school later, you're going to get out of school later. And there are some ways you can work through that by reducing the amount of changing time between classes, things like that. But there are certain requirements and parameters that we are under. As far as after school activities, work schedules, we know that kids today are very involved. Some would say overly involved. that's where we have to do what's best for kids, and we have to work with our communities to help educate so that kids are well-balanced.
I'm curious, Superintendent, you know, athletics and extracurriculars. Mm-hmm. What did your coaches say, or what did the advisors of, say, band or choir or, you know, any of the other extracurriculars, when they did they weigh in on this when you were thinking about the changes?
We have someone on our committee that's looking at this. There are those concerns with, especially with teacher coaches, the amount of time that they potentially may lose in instructional time, athletes getting out to go to away games or meets. But again, all of that is workable. As Gail said, it's not an obstacle. It's a challenge to overcome. When you look at your internal schedules, there are ways to do scheduling so that athletes and teacher coaches may minimize the amount of time lost to instruction. So there are concerns from them, but they also see that it's what's best for kids.
We have a question here from a listener. It says, what are some of the logistical changes that administrators have to address to make the change in school times? This listener wants to understand the scope of the devil in the details.
So, well, that's a good question. A lot of it depends on what you adjust your start and end times to. A largest part of the logistical is with transportation and busing and bus routes. Looking at how long it takes for each bus to run its routes. What would happen if you put elementary first and secondary second? Because elementary runs take a different amount of time than secondary runs do. So the largest part right now is in the transportation end. There are some logistical things in working with breakfast and lunches because of your school day changing and what that might do for staffing. And then really it's your internal schedule. What's that going to look like? How are you going to maximize opportunity for students and maximize the amount of learning time within your day schedule?
If I could add to that.
Go ahead, Dr. Boston.
An additional part, maybe less logistical, but does need to be a part of any plan to help the community participate not only in the development of the ideas, but the repercussions that they'll have, is education. Parents and families need to understand that sleep is important for their health. Later school start times certainly make it possible for teens to be at their best, but parenting still matters a lot across childhood. Bedtimes affect kids' sleep and later teen sleep and their health. So in a teen, we're not parenting to win a fight over phone time at night, as one of the earlier callers mentioned. It would need to start with a mutual agreement with hopefully education provided by the district that we're all better people when we're well rested. And to do that in a teen requires a lot of expression of warmth to be able to have that conversation and recognizing that they're building their autonomy. So if the parents and families and kids can work together to be healthy, including parents modeling charging their phones outside the bedroom overnight or whatever it takes, the parenting win is for the long term when that teen is eventually living on their own and making good choices. If districts can help families to see that, this can go smoothly.
We only have about 60 seconds left. I want to get one question in from a listener and then a final question. Anna asked, where do teachers' unions stand on earlier start times or later start times? Are school hours for them work hours covered in collective bargaining agreements?
So I can only speak for ours. Our association is part of the committee and looking at it and has been overly supportive. Each collective bargaining agreement is probably different. I know some do have their start and end time. Ours does not.
And I'll last question for you, Dr. Carafin. This report was prepared for the General Assembly. Where does the state stand on this? I mean, in Pennsylvania, we know that local school districts have final say on what they're going to do, but what about the state?
Well, the report was made for the state,
right,
and that they are going to hopefully address some of these issues. I would like to see the state offer incentives to school districts who make the change. It's unlikely that they'll make any mandate. Although California did that last year, there was a mandate that all schools have to start 8:30 or later within 3 years.
I want to thank our guest for being with us today. Dr. Gail Carafin is a Pennsylvania statewide leader of Start School Later. Dr. Rafeu Buxton with Penn State University and Derry Township School Superintendent Joe McFarland. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A reminder that coming up next Wednesday on WITF-TV, Nova has an episode called The Mysteries of Sleep, exploring the benefits of sleep, including memory retention and emotional regulation. That's on WITF-TV, February 26th at 9 p.m.